You're listening to the Corner House podcast. Visit the Corner House website for listings and more.
Hi everyone, welcome to this Viva podcast introducing the 2013 edition of the Film Festival. My name's Andy Willis, I work at Salford University and I've been involved with helping to organise the festival here at Corner House. And I'm joined today with some special Viva-informed guests, all of who have been involved in shaping the festival in one way or another, to talk about some of this year's highlights and things to look forward to across the festival. So, who have I got with me?
Hello, hola. My name is Carmen Herrero. I work at the Manchester Metropolitan University, and I also help here to select some of the films and also organise the educational programme.
My name is Jessie Gibbs, and this is my 7th year as the coordinator of Viva Festival.
So you've been here 7 years, Jessie, and this is the 19th year of Viva, so it's getting a bit long in the tooth now. But as ever, since the first Viva, we've scoured the Spanish and Latin American film scene and picked up examples of some of the best in comedy, drama and documentary filmmaking. All in all, we've got 23 films from 8 countries, including 10 UK premieres. There are films from returning favourites to look out for, like Alex de la Iglesia's La Chispa de la Vida, which will be his 9th Viva screening. That's 9 screenings of his work. I don't even think he's made that many films, so a few of them must have been on more than once. Anyway, there's also Benito Zambrano. Jesse, he's got a new film on, but his films have been on before as well.
Yes, this year we've got La Voz Dormida. We also had his film Habana Blues in 2007, which was really popular.
And I remember years ago, Solas, his first film being on, which was really popular with audiences. So that's definitely one to look out for. Are there any other return offenders?
Yeah, we've also got Rodrigo Pla coming back with La Demora. We had his film La Zona in 2010 and Desierto Adentro in 2011.
Excellent. So as well as lots of familiar directors, there's also an array of new talents making their Viva debuts. And all of these directors we've just talked about, of course, were once Viva debutantes themselves. And it's been really good to follow their careers over the years. So whether it's established talents that people are looking for or the next big thing, then we should have something for you across the festival. But as ever, Viva is not just about the films. We have a complimentary exhibition in the galleries, a number of special events too. And of course, there are plenty of opportunities to practice your Spanish and even your Catalan at special events across the month of the festival. Okay, so what films have we actually got on? Let's start with the opening night gala. That's always one of the most highly anticipated events at Viva, and the cinema's always crammed to the rafters with people. What do we have this time, Jessie?
The opening night film is Atraco, Hold Up. By a Spanish director, but it's an Argentine-Spanish co-production. It's a really fun film, actually, set in 1950s Madrid, so the costumes and sets are really great. I particularly appreciated them. It's a kind of tragicomic story with some really, really funny moments in it. Actually, based on a real-life event as well. Apparently, the director found the story from a newspaper clipping and kind of got inspired by there. So, yeah, I think everyone's going to really enjoy that one.
Yeah, that's one that I'm really looking forward to. I'll be there the opening night. Carmen, anything that you're looking forward to, particularly across the festival?
Well, I'm going to recommend La Voz Dormida, The Sleeping Voice. It's by Benito Zambrano, and I really like the book that inspired this adaptation by Dulce Chacón. It's a story located after the Spanish Civil War, and it tells the story of two sisters and all the difficulties that they have to go through, particularly one of them, Hortensia, who is pregnant and has to be in prison. So I highly recommend this one. But following with the theme of the Spanish Civil War, on Viva Matinet Classic, we have Las Largas Vacaciones del 36, The Long Holidays of 1936, that is a classic film by Jaime Camino from 1976. You can watch this film on Sunday the 17th, and also on Wednesday the 20th of March, you'll be able to watch it and also have an informal discussion after the film.
Jesse, any other recommendations that you would point out?
Yeah, I've got two more films I'd like to mention which have a sort of connected theme but are very different. The first is Las Buenas Hierbas, The Good Herbs, which is the UK premiere. It's a really moving film with quite a difficult subject matter. It's Alzheimer's, but it's also a really beautiful film full of love. The Mexican director Maria Navarro is actually very well known for her strong, independent female characters. And I really love the representation of family and friendship relationships between women here, all different generations. And the other film which I wanted to mention, which is also about ageing, but in a very different way, is the Spanish comedy La Vida Empieza Hoy, Life Begins Today. This is about the different stories of various Barcelona residents who are linked by their participation in a sex class for pensioners, which is quite funny, as you can imagine. There are lots of really funny scenes in it, but also lots of kind of touching moments as well. It's quite poignant. It seems a really original kind of treatment of this topic and really fun.
OK, they both sound great. Well, I've already mentioned Alex de la Iglesia's La Chispa de la Vida, and that would be a film I would point out as one to look out for. It's only on, I think, for one screening on Friday the 15th of March, but I really would make an effort to go and see it. Again, there's probably a few people listening who are fans of Alex de la Iglesia's work, and this one, I would say, is something of a return to form for him. It's about... it's kind of, if anyone's seen... Billy Wilder's Ace in the Hole, it's Alex's take on Ace in the Hole. There's a man stuck in a particular situation, and the press and everyone are all flocking around to exploit his downfall. I won't say any more, so I don't want to spoil it, but I would definitely say that's, for me, one to look out for. So there's a few really good recommendations, I think, across the festival, lots of different types of films, and of course there's lots of other things. Carmen, you've got maybe one or more that you'd like to point out.
I would like to recommend Violeta Se Fue a los Cielos, Violeta Went to Heaven, by Andrés Gut. You probably remember Machuca, by the same director. Violeta Se Fue a los Cielos is the story of Violeta Parra, which is one of the great songwriters from the new Chilean song movement. So if you like music and politics and culture, I think you should come and watch this one.
Brilliant. That's pushing all the buttons for me. I'll be at that one. And if you want to find out anything more about the films that we've just talked about or any of the other films at the festival this year, then why don't you visit vivafilmfestival.com. Of course, Viva's not just about the films. We've also got a fascinating exhibition from Mexican artist Joshua Ocon. He makes political comment in his art on the US's involvement in the Guatemalan Civil War. We caught up with him earlier in the gallery to find out more.
Well, the pieces I'm presenting here at Corner House, one of them is called Octopus, which gives a name to the whole exhibition. And Octopus is a piece that was originally made in Los Angeles for the Hammer Museum. The Hammer Museum basically invited me to do a research-based residency, and this piece comes as a result of that research. And basically, I wanted to do a piece that really spoke about the city and about Los Angeles and therefore about the USA. So when I was conducting my research, as a coincidence, like in the very, very early stage, I was finishing a book I was reading called The Art of Political Murder. And that book really gives you a very good idea of the Guatemalan Civil War, and also especially about the US intervention in Guatemala. So when I was reading that book, then it clicked to me that in the past, when I had lived in Los Angeles, I had been to the Home Depot to hire workers. And I realized that a lot of the people I was reading about in this book were actually living in Los Angeles as undocumented day laborers that would go to the Home Depot parking lot to look for a job. Then I went back to that parking lot, and then I started conducting interviews, and I realized that I was right, that a lot of those guys had actually fought in the Civil War, which was a very long Civil War that ended in 1996. The oldest guys there, like the ones in their late 30s, early 40s, when they were young kids, had actually fought in the war. So based on the traditions that there are of Civil War reenactments, which are especially alive in the USA, I decided to conduct a Civil War reenactment. But instead of, like usually Civil War reenactments happen with people that did not actually fought in the war, but in this case I would actually make the reenactment with the actual soldiers, with the actual fighters that will be in a way playing themselves or reenacting their own personal histories. And also usually Civil War reenactments take place in the actual battlefields where the wars happened. So in this case I was also relocating the site to this new side that has a symbolic nature to it. So that's pretty much the story behind the octopus.
So did you get any feedback from the participants about how they felt about doing the reenactment?
Yes. I mean, I spoke a lot with the participants because in a way, I mean, they are reenacting their own history. So in that sense, they have a lot more to say than I do. Also, they all know about the war and they all know about, the kinds of movements and the kind of the action that is taking place. So I did, part of my research was to talk to them in depth about, you know, their whole experience, and also to choreograph the whole movements based on what they told me and what they showed me and the kinds of moves and the kind of rhythm to war that they describe, which is a lot about waiting and a lot about these kind of very tense moments when there's nothing happening, but yet, you know, you can be attacked at any second, etc. So that whole part is really very much based on their accounts. But on the other hand, I mean, to me, this piece is not so much about them. It is about, the people around them in the parking lot. In other words, through them, I really wanted to talk about the US and about, you know, people from the US, because you have to consider that these Guatemalan, which are, all of them are Mayan, which Mayan is their mother tongue, live in Los Angeles in an incredibly marginal way. And if you ask, dare to say, more than 99% of people, who are these guys, why they are there, people will have no clue whatsoever. Even if their histories are so incredibly and intricately linked, you know, the US affected in a deep way Guatemalan history. It, you know, did an intervention and it was behind a 40-year-long civil war and pretty much financing and training the Guatemalan military. So these people are direct casualties of the US government and are refugees and are in the US because they are trying to survive, because, you know, Guatemala was completely devastated. So to me, the piece, through them, I really wanted to speak about the US and attitudes in the US. So they are some sort of a bait, so that you can really, when you watch the videos, more than watching them, you're really aware of what is happening around them and what are the reactions of people around them. So I shot this video, I tried to keep the production as invisible as possible. The cameras were hidden inside of cars so that you were not so much aware of the production, and therefore the parking lot could really be as much as possible as it is in the everyday life. In other words, I did not want to affect the location so much, because the location is the piece.
Does your work always relate to socio-political themes, or do you cover other areas?
No, I make work that is about social and political themes, and I don't think there is a way to make art and not deal with social and political things. In other words, I think art is always political, and I think that it's the artist's responsibility to acknowledge this fact. But that does not mean that my work limits itself to that. I mean, my work is also about other aspects that are coexisting with these themes. For instance, there's definitely formal concerns. On the other hand, I think the work is also about my personal history, and I think the work is also about, you know, my emotional being. So I think the political dimension, it's part of it, but it doesn't limit itself to that.
You've established your own art school in Mexico City called SOMA. Why have you done this, and what are you hoping to achieve with it?
I founded this art school, which is like an artist-run nonprofit space, because it's not only a school, it has also a public program, it has a residency program, and it has the academic program. It's a direct response to what has happened in the last 10 years or so in the art world. There's been like an explosion of the market, art became fashionable, and that really, really changed a lot the whole dynamics of the art world. And more, I think artists are losing agency, and art is becoming more of an industry. where there is a lot more emphasis in spectacle and a lot less emphasis in content, in discursive aspects. I mean, this space, it's always an attempt to balance the situation a little bit more. There can be more conversations and more dialogue happening, and where we can really put more emphasis and more attention to content and to discursive aspects of art, and also a place where there can be community building. There is not enough interaction and conversation going on, so SOMA is also a platform where people can interact among each other.
So Joshua will be at the preview on Friday the 8th of March, or at the artist talk on Saturday the 9th if you'd like to pin him down and ask him a few questions about his work. His show runs until the 1st of April, so go to the website for more details. One of the great things about Viva for me is the fact that there's always directors here and they always do Q&As. They're always willing to talk and share their work with us. I'm assuming that there are some this year. Jesse, who have we got lined up?
Yep, we've got a few guests coming this year. We've got the directorial debut of Paco Arbaños, Ali, this year. Unfortunately, the director himself can't come due to filming commitments, but the producer, Alvaro Alonso, will be here to answer questions. That's on Saturday the 16th. And I'm sure that you'll have some really interesting insights into how films get made in the depths of the economic crisis that we're all suffering in Spain in particular. We also have the actor and director Alfonso Sanchez with his debut film El Mundo Es Nuestro. That's on Monday the 18th. And he's coming along with his co-star, who they're two comedians quite well known in Spain, I think, his co-star Alberto López. And I think that's going to be a really, really fun Q&A, and the ticket's already selling well. It's going to be a lively event, I think.
If those two are as funny as they are in the film, that'll be definitely one to make sure you get a ticket for. Again, I seem to be saying I'm looking forward to everything, but when it comes to Viva, I am actually looking forward to everything. But that's, again, one of the things that I've already got penciled in. It's interesting you say about, these two films, in different ways, linking with the economic crisis. Because, Carmen, that's the focus of a one-hour intro that you're going to be doing during the festival, isn't it?
Yes, and I would like to invite everybody to join me on Monday the 18th of March at 17:15. I'll do an hour to talk about Indignados, Crisis and Film. And I just want to talk about how the ongoing economic crisis has brought changes in politics, culture, and society. And I want to see and consider the representation of this crisis in Spanish documentary and films, like the one that you mentioned, and many others. So if you want to know more about that, I hope to see you there.
Well, I'm doing a one-hour intro as well, but I'm afraid mine hasn't got quite the weightiness of Carmen's. Mine's called There's Still Something Hairy in the Woods. And it's the thing that I think everyone's probably been waiting for across the 19 years of Viva, and that is a one-hour introduction into Spanish werewolf films. It's inspired by the fact that the film Lobos de Arga is on, which is a really, really great kind of fun take on the werewolf film. But when you scratch the surface, no pun intended, of course, there's lots of examples of werewolf cinema within the history of Spanish cinema. So I'll be just doing a light-hearted journey through that on Tuesday the 12th of March at 5:15. So hope to see some people there as well. Are there any other guests this year?
Yep, we've got one more guest appearance, which is Patricia Ferreira is coming with her film in Catalan, Els Nens Salvatges, and that's on Sunday the 17th. So, that should be a good, interesting Q&A as well.
Yeah, and she's really becoming a major figure within contemporary Spanish cinema, isn't she, Jessie?
Yeah, this is actually the fifth film of hers that we've had at Viva over the years, and she's won awards at the Malaga Film Festival with this film last year as well, so she's definitely an interesting director to watch. And following directly on from that screening with the Q&A is the Café El Quatre Gats, which is our Catalan language informal meeting in the Corner House Café. So, if Catalan language is your thing, it's the ideal afternoon, really, to come to the film and then have a chat about that film or anything in the festival, really. But if Castellano Spanish is more your thing, on the opening weekend on Sunday, we've got the Café Cervantes, which is along the same lines, but it's in Castellano Spanish. And obviously can come and talk about whatever you want to, any films in the festival and the art exhibition as well. And both of these events are led by staff from our festival partner, Instituto Cervantes.
And as ever, the festival also has some more structured educational events. Carmen, you've always traditionally been involved with those. Are you involved again this year?
Yes, I am, with Ana Balbuena from the Instituto Cervantes. So if you are an adult learning Spanish, you have the chance of coming to watch and work with a field called Medianeras on Saturday the 16th of March in the morning, 10:30. So there will be an interactive study session where we'll be working with the film, about the film, and after watching the film, you'll keep talking in Spanish. And also for schools, as usual, we have two events, a GCSE session with Pájaros de Papel, the film directed by Emilio Aragón, who came last year for the opening, and also we have a session for AS A2 students with Infancia Clandestina, a wonderful film by Benjamin Avila set in Argentina in the dictatorship.
So there's plenty there for everyone. For updates on the festival, follow Corner House on Twitter at CornerHouseMCR and follow the official festival hashtag Viva2013, that's 2013. And also you will be putting updates on the Corner House Facebook page and of course on the Viva Film Festival webpage, vivafilmfestival.com. So that's all from us, so it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from...
Carmen, hasta pronto.
Goodbye from Jesse, thank you.
And we'll see you all across the festival.
You've been listening to the Corner House podcast. Visit the Corner House website for listings and more.